Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, finish updating your Facebook status and pay attention because we're about to kick off a three-day miniseries about new movies and television shows that are based around the places we live and know. Tomorrow we'll look at the new HBO series Boardwalk Express, which is set in Atlantic City in a time that shaped the Jersey City we know today. Later this week we'll talk about the film Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, set in New York's financial district. But today we're discussing a movie that revolves around a place where some of us, despite our physical addresses, spend hours every day on Facebook. The film is The Social Network, and it was number one at the box office this weekend. It chronicles, from the filmmaker's point of view, the story behind the creation of Facebook, the social media giant. And with us to talk movies and TV for the next 3 days is Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate. And joining us today to discuss The Social Network is Baratunde Thurston, comedian and digital director of The Onion, as well as a major contributor to Jack and Jill Politics. Dana, Baratunde, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good to be here.
Baratunde, some critics say that in the movie, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is portrayed in a negative light, as a socially awkward, selfish college kid obsessed with status and success. And a lot of his drive in the film stems from the stressful social culture of the college campus where he created Facebook, which was Harvard.
Right.
You happen to be a Harvard alum. You were there just a few years before Mark Zuckerberg. Tell us how Harvard is portrayed in the movie to your eye, and how accurately to your eye it's portrayed in the way it drives Zuckerberg's negative character traits.
I mean, the school overall comes off pretty accurately, but there are some extremes. I think, you know, without having Zuckerberg's direct perspective, the book that this is based on largely, The Accidental Billionaires, and Sorkin's own take have gone a little bit off the rails. I mean, they show the final clubs as these sort of debaucherous sex clubs that feel like strip clubs, and I certainly wasn't a member, but I had friends who were, and they weren't quite like that. But they have sort of an extreme painting. Also, everyone in the movie is super articulate. They have zingers and one-liners at the ready. It seems like there's a witty retort to every witty retort. And that college kids aren't that smart. You know, they aren't that good at off-the-cuff speech. So once again, I think some liberties were taken with sort of the pace of conversation, the wit of conversation, and the extreme activities in some of these clubs. That said, a lot of it is inferred, and it sort of tries to paint a picture of what would create someone's sense of being outside and how that might lead them to drive to create a social network in the virtual world that they weren't fully belonging to in the physical world. So I think they did a good job of that. The accuracy, I don't know Zuckerberg, and I can't attest to that, but I think as someone who did go to that school, I can see where those images came from, and they weren't completely off the mark.
All right. Yeah. Dana Stevens, you were mentioning off the air David Carr's piece in the New York Times today about the generational gap that he noticed in reactions to the film. I guess older people, and I haven't seen it yet, but I guess older people see it as a cautionary tale about a guy who betrayed his friends. Mm-hmm. But younger people tend to see Zuckerberg as a kid who saw an opportunity and seized it. Yes, Dana?
Apparently. I mean, I haven't yet met enough people who have seen the movie to sense that generational divide myself, and I guess that makes me old because I guess I do see it as more of a fable, a moral fable about greed and ambition, and that might have to do with the founding of any transformative company, not necessarily only Facebook.
And we're going to talk about the new Wall Street movie on Wednesday, so, you know, we won't give any spoilers yet. But are they saying the same thing? Is this Mark Zuckerberg as, you know, the Gordon Gekko we know from the first movie?
Oh, it's such a different character from Gordon Gekko. I'm curious for you to see it, Brian, and see what you think about that. But the character is so much less glamorized and seductive and in a way lovable than Gordon Gekko. And it's a pretty unusual lead character he's a pretty unusual protagonist because he is desperately unlikable throughout the movie.
Huh. Although, Baratunde, one of the now famous lines from The Social Network is, "Every creation myth needs a devil."
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the sad parts of the movie for me is that it's not really about Facebook. You know, the people are calling it the Facebook movie. It's about, you know, legal drama that kind of resulted from the early founding of Facebook. And I think the movie misses some of the big point about just what Facebook is, the fact that even though it's revealed it's not focused on, this site was started for under $1,000. and has grown more rapidly than maybe any other networking kind of community in the history of the world. That's exceptional. And despite all the fighting back and forth over exactly where the idea came from and who did what, there was a dedicated team who had an idea that was so obvious and so good that it completely has changed a big chunk of the world. And that seems to be a little bit lost in this focus on the legal back and forth.
Uh-huh. Where do you fall, Baratunde, on this, you know, cautionary tale about friend screwing jerk, you know, versus opportunity to be seized?
I mean, it makes me not want to be that successful. It seems like you have a high price to pay. Either way, you have great benefits and sometimes riches that accrue from such success and focus, but it's inevitable that you're going to be the target of a lot of speculation or lawsuits or accusations, and it's not without price.
Let's take a phone call. Lanny in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lanny.
Yes, I wanted to say that everybody keeps forgetting this is not a documentary. It's a movie. And in movie, like any other art forms, people take all kinds of liberties to present a picture. And that this is an absolute truth has to be an idiot.
Lenny, thank you. Well, Dana, this actually raises a serious question, despite his dismissal of anybody who sees it as the truth as an idiot. I mean, it's a feature film. It's not sold as a documentary, but it is sold as a film based on the life of a real modern day, you know, business tycoon, Mark Zuckerberg, who started Facebook, one of the most compelling contemporary products. So does it blur the line? I mean, it's not a fictional character. It's a movie about a real-life guy based on real-life tendencies that the filmmaker portrays and sees.
Right. I mean, I think Aaron Sorkin in interviews, the screenwriter, has been pretty frank about the fact that he's using real facts to create a mythos, right? I mean, I had no problem with the movie's blurring of the line. It seemed actually to me that it handled real documents and fictionalization and condensation and all of those tools pretty well. Do you agree, Baratunde?
I do. The movie, as a movie, is great. The score is great. The opening scene is one of the best I've seen. And they did some really interesting things with the cinematography. There's a boat racing scene where they use this sort of tilt-shift-gen toy-style shot, which is so appropriate. And I hadn't seen that used quite in that way.
Oh, that was my least favorite scene in the movie. But I agree, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Do you think, Dana, that seeing the movie may change the way people look at their own involvement with Facebook? Or is it really just about this guy and his creation of the business?
I don't know. You know, I've never been a fan of Facebook myself. I'm on it, but I've never quite understood the appeal and the charm of using it. I'm more of a Twitter person myself. I don't think the movie has that much to say. I'd be curious what a Facebooker thinks about this, but I don't think the movie has that much to say about the site itself and the way that it's used. I think that it sort of ends at the moment that Facebook, as we know it, begins, and that it has much more to do with this creation myth and with this character portrait of this incredibly compelling CEO.
Baratunde, you agree?
I completely agree. It's not a movie about Facebook. It's a movie about the drama surrounding the founding of Facebook. And I think one of the benefits of the film is that there are no clear villains. I walked in thinking, oh, they're really going to trash Zuckerberg and make his opponents out to be heroes. And his opponents aren't heroes. You know, one of the pair is a very well-to-do family that uses its connections, and they assume they're going to be able to stop this kid from doing what he does, and it doesn't work out that way. Clearly, you know, history has shown that. And they look not like great people either. You know, there are blurry lines even within the truth, which isn't fully represented in this film.
Isn't it a strange phenomenon making a movie about the life of a 26-year-old?
A 26-year-old billionaire.
That's why, Dana, because he's a billionaire.
Right. I mean, he's the youngest billionaire. I guess they say that at the end of the movie, he's the youngest person in history ever to have had that much money. So,
right. The youngest person in history ever to have made that much money. So when people compare this to Citizen Kane, I guess that, as some people have, I guess that's just because it's about a media tycoon, not because it's groundbreaking filmmaking.
The Citizen Kane thing is getting thrown around so loosely. I mean, David Fincher, the director himself, I think has owned up to not trying to make Citizen Kane, but referencing it, paying homage to it in various ways. I mean, just structurally, the story is quite similar to the story of Citizen Kane, as is the temporal structure of the movie and the fact that we see the same story from various points of view. I mean, I'm not comparing the movie to Citizen Kane by any reason, but I do think it's one of the best movies of the year so far.
Baritunde, 15 seconds, last word.
I think it's an appropriate movie for the time that we're living in. A young kid is able to start a revolutionary service without the permission of anyone with very little financing, loses some friends along the way, creates hundreds of millions of others. It's the perfect time for a movie like this.
Baritunde Thurston, among other things, digital director of The Onion. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And Dana Stevens will join us again at this time tomorrow to talk about HBO's Prohibition-era series Boardwalk Empire. I think I said Boardwalk Express before. It's Boardwalk Empire, set in Atlantic City. So I'll talk to you then.
Great. See you tomorrow.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.